Pick up Scott's Weed and Feed today.
Welcome, Friday edition of the Gym Class, coming your way on KGYM. We'll talk about the wild night that was in Philadelphia, night number one of the NFL draft. We'll talk UNI football with Jim Nelson of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. Your chance to win a four-pack of Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets for next weekend's games against Fort Wayne. All that coming up and more on the Friday edition of the Gym Class, right here on KGYM. Rainy Friday edition of the Gym Class coming your way. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, taking it through the 3 o'clock hour. Local sports programming on the main gym, 1600 AM. The North Gym, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. And the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Feels again today like early March, late February out there. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Going to be a rainy, cool weekend, just not the type of weekend they were looking for at the Drake Relays. We'll get you updated on what's happening over there at the Big Blue Oval at Drake Stadium. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But we start off with last night's first round of the National Football League draft. And I said it could get a little bit weird, and it didn't take very long to get very weird last night, as you heard. Our coverage starting last night at 6 o'clock from ESPN. More coverage coming up tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll join up with the second round on 1600 AM and the South Gym, 106.3 FM. North Gym listeners, you will get Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. That will be coming up at 7 o'clock this evening. First of all, I would like to thank all the well-wishers on social networking last night that asked if I was okay and if you were okay, Mark. So, you know, thanks for the concern out there to all our listeners. We do appreciate it.
Bears and Chiefs with a couple, to put up mildly bold moves. Shocking moves. I don't know what adjective you would use, but both going for quarterbacks, both trading for Trubisky and Mahomes, respectively. And I raise your hand if you understand either move. 319-366-1600 is our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, as always. If you'd like to know more about Jerry Ask Investments, go to jkainvest.com.
It was interesting because I believe I asked you yesterday what you would do if the Bears did not take a defensive player yesterday. You didn't have to wait long. Not only did the Bears pull the trigger on the quarterback situation with Trubisky, but traded up with the San Francisco 49ers to make that move. And I was very concerned. And then I saw the flash at number 10 that the Buffalo Bills had traded their pick to the Chiefs. And first thing I think of, silly me, is, you know, needs here for Kansas City right out of the chute. And I said, well, okay, this is good. This is good. This is going to be great. Okay, we're going to go. Jonathan Allen has fallen all the way down to number 10. They need somebody to replace Jay Howard and Dontari Poe in there. Gotta be this. Gotta be the case. And then they showed, the parameters of the trade. Chiefs give up a third and a number one next year. And I go, that's not for a defensive tackle. And lo and behold, the guy I said would be the guy not drafted in the first round is picked by my Chiefs. How's that?
I'm not sure either karma. Either team got the best quarterback that went in the first round. Deshaun Watson was really growing on me. And if the Bears had picked him instead of Mitch Trubisky, maybe I'd feel a little bit better. But the Bears essentially swap picks with the 49ers, the second and third, and then give up two later picks and a third rounder next year for a guy who started 13 games in college football, wasn't even an all-conference player. And I know there's projections out there, but Ryan Pace and John Fox, the GM and head coach, respectively, the Bears, must be totally convinced that this is the guy. That's the only thing I can think.
Same thing with John Dorsey. This is the biggest swing that the Chiefs have taken ever. in the draft. And I went through today the draft history of the Kansas City Chiefs. Only the third quarterback taken in the first round by Kansas City. First one that they have traded up 17 places.
How'd those work out?
Not too well. Everyone knows about my misery with 1983 and Todd Blackledge after being taken behind two Hall of Famers. And the other one was the immortal Steve Fuller back in 1979 out of Clemson, who Deshaun Watson had a patch for the last 2 years and wore number four for Steve Fuller back in his days at Death Valley over in South Carolina. Your thoughts? I know we have a ton of Bears fans. I know we have a ton of Chiefs fans out there. 319-366-1600 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line as we kind of dive into the NFL draft. And that's not even going into the craziness. I mean, it started crazy at number two, and it didn't stop throughout the night. It was very, very fun listening and viewing last night.
I was really hoping the Bears would go defensive line or safety along the lines of Solomon Thomas at defensive tackle, defensive end, and then the Adams kid out of LSU at safety. I'd have been totally pleased with either one of those two. What complicates the Bears pick even more that the Bears gave Mike Glennon a 3-year contract, $18 million guaranteed, and then they go ahead and take Trubisky in the very first round of the second pick and making a move to do so, and it was just head-scratching to me. We do have some texts coming in on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. I think Kansas City Chiefs moving from 27 to 10 to get a QB was a stretch. Now they lose their third round and first round next year. Why not wait until next year?
When the quarterback class is much better next year.
John at 5692, I threw up in my mouth when I heard the Bears drafted Trubisky. Well, where else would you throw up, John? I got really sick when I found out what they had given up for him. 61-23, the only reason I could see the Bears making that trade is because another team was also trading for that spot.
Perhaps. John Lynch really did well last night in his first draft, I thought, as a GM of the 49ers. Best move of the night was San Francisco jumping up at the end and getting Reuben Foster. And yes, I know what Reuben Foster, he had the diluted sample at the combine. You know, yes, I understand that. But as far as inside linebackers are concerned, nobody is better than Reuben Foster. He is going to be solid for a long time. He's going to be... They're comparing him to Ray Lewis. I don't know. That's awful tough. But he's going to be around for a long, long time in San Francisco.
I would agree. The pick that was panned the most was Cleveland's pick at 25 for Jabril Peppers. Analysts saying, well, the guy really has no position. To me, he's got several positions. Can it be effective in the return game? I've always liked this guy, and I'd be surprised if he isn't successful in Cleveland and in the NFL. 0439 on the text side. I'm a 49er fan. That trade was amazing from my perspective. Ha, ha.
I texted my son, and I go, now Chiefs trade, now, Foster. That's the guy. Chiefs could have had. What happened to Jonathan Allen last night? Was going to be taken second or third, ended up falling all the way to 17 of the Washington Redskins. Got a steal right there. Yeah, he had a little bit of an injury situation, but have you watched him?
Yeah.
I think he was the best player in the draft myself. What I learned last night, what did you learn last night?
That doing mock drafts is stupid.
That's number one. I agree with that totally.
You can never factor in the trades.
And good luck if you are trying to figure that out. What's tougher, doing mock NFL draft or getting a perfect bracket as far as the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship is concerned?
Yes.
Both kind of hard. Both hard.
On the text line, 1455, I'm a Cowboy fan. The guy they got sounds like a meal at a fancy Mexican restaurant. Don't know much about him. That'd be Taco Charlton from Michigan. Very good player.
Very good pass rusher. Not real terrific against the run. Look at me. I could be. I'm taking Alex's place here as Alex Kuiper Jr. Very good against the pass rusher. Not quite as good against the run, and kind of needs to play every down. There you go. That's a, he's kind of a Myles Garrett light, if you will. I thought it was a pretty good move there by the Dallas Cowboys to get him. 319-366-1600. Other thing I learned last night in the draft, that it is now, the NFL draft is turning into the NBA draft, is what it is, especially at the quarterback position. That quarterback rides into that first round on the white horse and just, you know, he's got the sun setting in the background and nobody can resist that quarterback in the first round. And who knows? Mitch Trubisky and Pat Mahomes may be the best two quarterbacks in the next decade. I doubt it. They could be, Mark. And then you and I are going to be very happy and we're going to listen to this in about 5 years and go, what in the world were we talking about?
Right.
We don't know that yet. But I see Izzy is, when you have a third round grade and you end up being in the first round, what are you supposed to think? Just because he's a quarterback, would you pull that trigger if he was a safety? No. Would you do it if he was in any other position? No. Just proves that quarterback is the most important position in any sport.
Well, I think in the NFL, it's true as it is in college football that it's an inexact science, much like recruiting in college football. I don't know which is tougher in evaluating personnel, but college, you know as well as I do that in the college ranks, the coaches can't be perfect all the time in terms of their evaluations, and it's true in the NFL as well. Each team has different measurables, different standards, different needs, different fits, and it's only for them to know, which direction to go. 1424 on the text line, love the Bears trade. Sincerely yours, Herschel Walker and Ricky Williams.
Touche. Very good. All right, here's what I want. Iowa State fans, please talk me off the ledge. You saw the Cyclones beat Pat Mahomes 66-10. Was he... Tell me he was better than that. It was 66-10.
He's going to have a better defense with the Chiefs.
Texas. One of the things I know Mel Kiper Jr. said last night was the fact that this guy had to be a gunslinger because Texas Tech's defense was so bad, he had to score 60 points a night or they were going to get beat. I don't know. 319-366-1600.
47-46, biggest steal of the draft. Maybe that the Patriots got Brandon Cooks for the number 32 pick. When multiple wide receivers who aren't as good went in the top 15.
That is true.
That's what the Patriots do.
That's why they're good every year.
25-23, at least the Rams haven't screwed up yet. Didn't have a pick, right?
They did not. They will have the fifth pick of the second round. Will the second round be as fun as the first round?
I think you're going to get some very interesting players in the second and third round. And players that can make as big a difference as first-rounders.
I tell you what, say what you will about mock drafts, and we're going to talk with him on Monday, but our guy Dan Shank of Our Lads Scouting Service, I think he got three guys right on the button for their spots and who they went to. But for the most part, his 32 were the 32 that were taken.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Dan did a really good job. I think he got about 25, 26 of the first round right for personnel. The second round is going to have a lot of questionable. I shouldn't say questionable. They're going to have a lot of interesting picks. Where's Joe Mixon going to go? The Oklahoma running back with the off-the-field problems. Probably would have been a first-round guy, definitely a second-round guy. Is a team going to take and pick him tonight in the second round? I would say yes, considering what happened last night with the Oakland Raiders, and they took Conley out of Ohio State, who's got a whole lot of problems facing him right now. Obviously, nothing. He hasn't been charged with anything as of yet, but he has been at least his name has popped up with accusations. And Desmond King, is he going to go tonight? Second or third round? Deshaun Kizer waited through the entire night last night, didn't get his name called. Where is he going to go in tonight's draft? There's just a lot of very interesting people that are still out there.
7 o'clock, we'll have it for you on KGYM here, the second and third rounds of the NFL draft. And then the fourth through seventh rounds will be Saturday. That's the subject of our poll question, KGYMradio.com. How many Hawkeyes will be drafted in rounds 2 through 7? We give you three options, 3 or fewer. 4 or 5 or more. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I'm going to say Desmond King, George Kittle, Jahlil Johnson, C.J. Beathard, and Cole Crosston will be drafted.
Okay. I think we'll see Desmond King go tonight. I think in the third round. I think we'll see George Kittle go. Hey, after last night, I'm convinced C.J. Beathard's going to get his name called sometime tomorrow.
Yeah,
not going to be tonight. It's going to be sixth round, seventh round. C.J. Beathard's going to get called tomorrow.
Don't be surprised if Jahlil Johnson is the first Hawkeye off the board.
I think so.
Don't be surprised.
I think Jahlil might go tonight. I think he might go tonight. He may go ahead. I think I would agree with you. I think he might go ahead of Desmond King. And not a knock against Desmond, certainly. And, yeah, I think we're going to hear maybe, how many did you say for the Hawks?
3 or fewer.
Yeah.
4 or 5 or more.
What'd you say?
I said 5.
I think 5. I think it's going to be 5. I think Wiltz might get his name called late tomorrow for Iowa State. Schultz, I think, is going to go for UNI. UNI might get a couple.
Drake will have a tight end taken, I think, late. Yeah. Sobert. 0497, I know the Bears needed a quarterback, but why not wait and get a later pick for a quarterback or pick up a player like Colin Kaepernick? I'd have been fine with that. You're committed to Mike Glennon next year, right?
Correct.
Until he gets hurt.
The only saving grace in the Chiefs situation is that Alex Smith is going to be around at least one, if not two more years.
Mm-hmm. What was his reaction last night?
Haven't heard. That I have not heard.
Who's the Chiefs' backup right now?
Tyler Bray is the backup quarterback. Okay. That will not be lasting long.
We sound like two guys crying each other's spilled milk.
Well, there were a lot of concerns last night toward us and others when those two picks were made.
Duke, are you there? Duke,
hey,
you there?
Hey,
you there?
Everybody was.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
No. 319-366-1600. Let us know what you think. We're going to talk to Jim Nelson here in a little bit. We'll get his thoughts on Carter Schultz, if he's going to get drafted. Talk a little UNI football with him coming up. We'll revisit the NFL draft and take a look at what's happening at a very soggy Big Blue Oval in Des Moines today. You think you have a bad day going on today? Just think about all those athletes out there at Drake Stadium that are going around. Hey, a couple other things to let you know about. First of all, the mystery behind what is going to happen next year with Connor McCaffrey has cleared up considerably. He sent out a tweet earlier today that he is going to take a redshirt year for basketball next year, still plans to play basketball for his dad in the University of Iowa, and now has officially said he is also going to be on the baseball team, and he will play baseball next year for Rick Keller and the Hawkeyes. So, no prep school, is going to try to play both sports, but is going to be a redshirt next year as far as the Hawkeye basketball team is concerned.
It's a good move.
I would agree. I would agree. And who knows? I mean, we can't look into the future. If I could, I'd see if Pat Mahomes is going to be any good. You know, maybe Connor falls in love with baseball. Maybe basketball is his thing. Who knows? He's going to at least try both sports for a while anyway. And why not in this situation? Why not? Also, Iowa golf going on. We talked to Tyler Stith earlier this week. Iowa had a good start at the Baltimore Country Club in the men's Big Ten Championships. They've kind of leveled off and fallen on the back nine, though.
Iowa finished with the first round in ninth place at plus 14. This is at the Baltimore Country Club. Really rough back nine for the Hawks. Collectively, 16 over par. Iowa made 19 bogeys on the back nine. And, folks, there's some really, really long holes on the back nine. Perhaps each team struggled there. But kind of bunched. I mean, with two rounds left to go, Iowa is in within shouting distance of anything up to maybe second or third. Illinois leads it, and I think the Illini will go win going away here. Illinois at minus 11 finished. Ohio State second at plus 3, Purdue plus 4, Northwestern plus 6, Penn State plus 7, Wisconsin plus 8, and as I said back in ninth, Iowa plus 14. Iowa's best showing of the day was by Raymond Knoll. He's tied for ninth, shooting an even par round. Matthew Walker with a 73. This is a par 70 course, by the way. Jack Simpson, the number four player, shot 74. Carson Shockey, somewhat shockingly, shot 77 today. His brother Alex with a 78. Play continues tomorrow. And Saturday, or tomorrow and Sunday, I'm sorry.
Yep, tomorrow and Sunday. Also, before we get to a break here, congratulations to Cornell.
Yes.
They win the Bremner Cup for the first time over Coe. And it all came down to the baseball game at Vet Stadium last night. And Cornell gets the victory in that one. So congratulations to the Purple over in the hill in Mount Vernon as they win it.
Quite a few months, the Cubs win the series and Cornell wins the Bremner Cup. How about that? No, congratulations.
Send your cards and letters.
From a Cohawk, congratulations to the Rams. It was an 8-7 series, so very competitive there, and that's what you like to see.
Absolutely. That's what you like to see. All right, we're going to take a break, 25 past the hour at 3. Jim Nelson from the Waterloo-Cedar Falls Courier are going to join us when we come back, talk UNI football. We'll have more on the draft coming up as well in the back half of the program. Stay here. It is Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Associated Materials, one of the largest window manufacturers in the USA, has temp to hire first and second shift production positions open right now in Cedar Rapids. Work first shift and enjoy warm weather nights off, or sleep in and work second shift. With their new progressive pay increases, you'll get a raise every 30 days. And after 90 days on the job, first shift earns $12 an hour and second shift earns $13. Interested? Call 319-390-0600. 319-390-0600.
Cancellation fee may apply, subject to eligibility. Not available in Alaska, Missouri, and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You look stressed.
My car broke down. I just got a quote for the repair. I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have a vehicle service contract from Toco?
What's that?
Well, you know how drivers have auto insurance to protect against accidents? Well, this is a monthly service contract that protects against costly repairs. If it's covered in your policy, they pay. When my transmission and air conditioner broke, the Toco plan paid the whole thing. They dealt with the licensed mechanic, took care of the bill, they even paid for my car rental. And all Toco plans are backed by an AmTrust financial insurance carrier.
It must be expensive.
Not at all. There wasn't even a down payment, and I've already saved hundreds of dollars on repairs, not to mention the stress.
Protect yourself from the expense and stress of unexpected repairs. Call today for your free quote. 800-276-2975. That's 800-276-2975. 800-276-2975.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
We are back, 3:28, Friday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. We'll talk more about the NFL draft coming up here in just a little bit. Monday, Dan Shanka of Our Lad Scouting Service, he's in Philadelphia covering it, of course, and we will talk with him about everything that went on in the city of brotherly love. Won a lot of brotherly love, Mark, for Roger Goodell last night. 75,000 people booing the heck out of him.
So. Happens every year, though, doesn't it?
Even more in Philadelphia. I think, but it was a great, great atmosphere for that draft last night. Unbelievable how they intertwined it into the Benjamin Franklin Parkway and things like that. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool stuff last night. We'll talk more about that coming up here in just a little bit. In fact, a little bit with our next guest, Jim Nelson from the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier, covering the UNI football team, Blackhawks, and other things for the Courier up there, joining us here on a Friday. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, guys.
Great. And what's your favorite NFL team, or do you have a favorite NFL team?
Well, they're north of us. I can tell you that much.
Well, that would be the Vikings.
And they didn't have a pick yesterday.
Okay, very good. So you have nothing but good things to say about Mark Dukes' Chicago Bears and their picks last night, right?
Well, I don't think a lot of people really appreciated the pick yet, too. I don't know, but I guess a lot of people were. That one kind of surprised everybody a little bit.
Without a doubt, Jim. Hey, let's talk spring game a little bit. Like a lot of teams, several frontline players were held out either because of injuries or precautionary reasons. But having said that, what'd you learn?
You know, with you and I, this spring was a lot about, you know, the spring game was a spring practice with about three segments of about 10 to 15 plays. They ran about 45 plays, maybe 50 plays. But, you know, what it really was about is they had so many new coaches in and they were trying to get it so the athletes and the coaches were getting on the same page. And from that aspect, I think Coach Farley was pretty happy with what the Panthers got accomplished, you know, because they're bringing coaches right. I mean, I think they even brought in a couple guys right as spring practice started.
Yeah, almost like they had to wear "Hello, my name is" name tags for it. But when you have a new offensive coordinator, things are going to be different. Did you kind of feel any cohesiveness with the new coaching staff, especially in the offensive side?
Yeah, I really think so. You know, I think Coach Bond and John Bond and Mike Simmons—they're going to be the guys I think in charge of offense initially here. Coach Farley said he knows who's going to be his offensive coordinator. I'm figuring it's going to be one of those two guys. John Bond's got a lot of experience over the last 20 years, and so is Mike Simmons. So those two guys, I think they really like their enthusiasm, their experience that they bring to the table, and what they're going to provide. The offense is going to be quite similar, I think, but with the tweaks of the John Bond and Mike Simmons there.
Speaking of that offense, Jalen Reimer from Cedar Rapids Prairie getting a lot of attention. He had a very good first year. Even some comparison, maybe not comparisons, but folks saying he could be the next David Johnson in terms of going to the NFL. I mean, there was a long ways to go there, but this guy's got a lot of upside yet, doesn't he?
Huge upside. You know, he was a guy, you know, he came from what they ran a prayer there, I believe, was a single wing, a hybrid of a single wing. So he was probably, I don't want to say underutilized. I don't want to demean what they do there because they were successful at Prairie. But, you know, it's a guy that came in, and I think he was overlooked by a lot of recruiting people. And, you know, he got there, and, you know, as he adds size, you know, the speed is there. He's definitely a deep threat. He can help on the special teams. He showed that last year. He showed to be able to get open deep. You know, I think, you know, more consistency will become more. Route running will become better. But, yeah, I think that there's a big upside here with Jalen Reimer, and he's going to be a big part of that offense next year.
Well, talking about the offense, and we've been talking about it as far as the draft is concerned. You got to have a quarterback, and Eli Dunn stepping in. This is his offense now, and had a great end to the season last year for the kid out of Grinnell.
If there's going to be something different, you know, where probably for 4 or 5 years, the Panthers had a guy that really liked to run the ball. You know, the Terrell Rennie, the Breann Carnes, the Aaron Bailey, they had those guys. Eli Dunn, he likes to get back. He wants to sling it around. And so you're going to probably see a little more passing game. And the big key there is, you know, he took a couple dings last year. They got to be able to protect him. They got to give him time, keep one of those defensive linemen off him and the linebackers off him. And if they can do that, he showed he really can pick apart defenses. Really, you know, that first start against Illinois was like almost a perfect start. And when they protected him, the Panthers moved the ball. When they struggled is when, you know, they couldn't handle the rush ins or they let him get hit. And that's the one thing he'll have to worry on, to work on too, getting rid of the ball quicker. But Eli Dunn, he's going to throw. They're going to throw the ball. Father said they're going to throw the ball more this year. I see the running game, a lot of it's going to be a little bit of a short passing game, throwing a lot to the backs out of the backfield. You know, and then they're going to try to go over the top with the Ryman and Drees Fountain and guys like that.
Give us a couple points of emphasis, Jim, going into the fall and even what needs to happen before that first game.
Well, the big thing is they got to find a center. Right now, I think it's, Robert Rathke was a four-year starter there. So they're running two or three guys. I think Lee Carhart right now, a junior out of Omaha, is the guy leading the pack. They wouldn't really say who's leading the pack, but, you know, a lot of times when the number ones went out there, and depth charts with Coach Farley don't mean a lot, but a lot of times when the ones went out there, when Eli Dunn was out there, Lee Carhart was the guy snapping the ball. So you think that's where it's got to go. So offensive line's a big thing. You know, they're breaking in some new running backs. They graduated, Tyvus Smith. So they got, and Michael Malloy. So Javion Browning, he was third string last year, smaller back. They're going to move Trevor Allen back there. Aaron Graham is going to go back there. Marcus Weimel is going to go back there. So they got some, they're trying to probably find one or two running backs. And all those guys are going to play some because Allen and Weimel are both valuable receivers, too.
You don't replace a guy like Carter Schultz, but they're going to have to try anyway, who's probably, I hope, is going to hear his name called tomorrow sometime in Philadelphia at the NFL draft. But this guy was just phenomenal the last couple of years for the Panther defense, and he leaves a big hole up there.
He leaves a big hole, but I tell you what, this is a deep group of defensive linemen. That's one thing. They're going to lose the player of the year, and I still think they're going to be as good, if not better, of a defensive line next year, just with who they've got returning. You got Preston Woods, and you got Hezekiah Applegate, and you got Ricky Neal on the edge, who could be the next like Andre Allen type. He has these add size, William Freeney type guys. They're really going back. He's going to be tough to be. And then they bring back Adam Reth, who was suspended last year. You know, he's going to be tough in the middle. Coach Farley said we were missing an all conference defensive tackle last year. Put him in. I'm missing some guys too. Bryce Douglas up there, some redshirt freshman Marcel Menifield. They're really deep up front, and I think it's talking to Hezekiah and talking to Preston Wood, it's going to be a team effort this year. And there's not going to be, not that it wasn't last year, but Carter did so much so well that he overshadowed a lot of guys, a pretty good defensive line. So they're going to be able to shuffle, I think, a couple, eight guys through there, and they're not going to miss a beat as far as who they shuffle in, and it's going to be a pretty good group.
Jim Nelson joining us, 3:36, Friday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM, talking UNI spring football. Linebackers are fine with Jared Farley and Duncan Furch back there.
Yeah, they're looking really good. And then they junior out of Waterloo West, Blake Thomas, emerged this spring, has been emerging. He was playing a lot alongside Farley there. He's an outside linebacker. They moved him inside. It's an experiment. They started in the spring. They really like the results so far. We'll see what happens there. They're also bringing in a junior college guy out of Iowa Central. That's Kendrick Sunkin, who's probably going to be in the mix when we get here. He's also an inside linebacker. So, another good, strong group. That front seven is going to be pretty tough.
The defensive backfield, some holes to fill, certainly, there for Coach Farley.
Yeah, another thing, they lose Jameson Whiting, graduates. They return Malcolm Washington at one corner, so they got to find another corner there. They have Elijah Campbell back at safety. Tyler Eves, I think, is the guy that's going to move in at another safety spot. I'm forgetting the guy here. You got me all flustered here. But anyway, they're looking for some guys in the defensive backfield. So that's going to be another probably point of emphasis going into the fall is building up that depth on the defensive line. Who's going to be, who's the starting four and who's the next two in? And that which is really a term Farley uses, the starting four plus one, plus two. So, and those plus two are usually guys that can float, either play corner or they can play safety. So they're looking for the top six guys. And they're probably there's three guys that they're looking for. They probably know who the three of them are, and they got to find them all. I'm missing A.J. Allen's in that mix too. So when he's back in So that he started a lot last year. So they got some guys there that they like, but I know they're looking for that plus two, the full plus two.
I know. Go ahead, Mark.
You're still a little busy with hockey here, aren't you, Jim?
Yeah, I am speaking to you from Sioux City here.
Oh, okay.
I'm at the team hotel here, looking across the way at the Titan Event Center, so I got game one of the Western Conference Finals tonight with the Blackhawks and the Musketeers.
Perfect.
Yeah, so it's hockey weather, though.
Yeah, it snowed on the way. It snowed on the drive over. Nothing that stuck to the ground, but it was snowing.
It's really
on your way.
That is depressing.
It didn't stick to the ground, but it was snowing.
Yeah, that is depressing. Hey, before we let you go here, we mentioned Carter Schultz. You think he's going to get his name called this weekend? And maybe is there another Panther you could see that possibly could get their name called? And then I know there'll be a few that'll end up at camps too.
Several going to end up camp. I really believe Carter is going to be that sixth or seventh round guy. I really think he's going to get selected. I hope he gets selected. High motor guy, a guy that's going to do what you want. I think he's everything you want. But, where it comes is, he could fall in the Xavier Williams thing. He's kind of where they want to play. But if he isn't drafted, he's going to be a free agent for long. He'll be signed fairly quick after the draft. So I really think he's going to go in one of those last two rounds. I hope he does. It's probably like everybody projects maybe the last round or, preferred a free agent. And the other guy you got to watch out is Michael Malloy. Boy, he's got a lot of looks as a multiple back. You know how the NFL is moving to those multiple backs that can carry the ball out of the backfield, they can catch the ball. David Johnson type. I'm not saying he's David Johnson, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run the ball. I could see him maybe a late flyer by a team, but he's definitely a guy that if he doesn't get drafted, a lot of teams are going to want to try to bring him into their camp.
Last for me, Jim, Ben Jacobson appeared to get some pretty good news earlier this week with the signing of Tywan Pickford to a national letter of intent. Do you know much about him?
Not much. I my brother and sister-in-law live in Maple Grove, so that might be as much as I know. But, he's a tall, athletic kid who had an injury, I think, his junior year, which kind of curtailed some of his recruiting. But he exploded back onto the scene as a senior, and really, his recruiting, I think, took off the last couple months with some some big tournaments on the AAU circuit or whatever the circuit he plays in. And that's when he's starting to get a lot of interest in a lot of Power 5 conferences that were starting to come in. So I think you and I got somebody that's going to be able to come in next year and contribute right away in the guard swing spot.
Yeah, and with him coming in, I think it probably means Adam McDermott stays as a walk-on. Next year, the transfer and the former Cedar Rapids Xavier product, the way it sounds.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, because that he would be the 13th scout. Pickford would be a 13th scholarship. So McDermott would stay, walk on, and maybe they get him some money the following year.
All right, sounds good. Enjoy Sioux City, Jim. Appreciate it, and keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Hey, you bet, guys. Anytime.
All right, thanks a lot. Jim Nelson, follow him at the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. Does some great work covering the UNI Panthers. And Panther football this year, going to be exciting. Going to wing the ball around the dome. And brand-new turf in the dome as well.
Yeah, similar to what they have, but they have an outline of the state of Iowa kind of superimposed or in the background of the UNI logo. And it looks really nice.
Yep. Don't forget, we have a 4-pack of tickets to see the Colonels take on Fort Wayne, the Tin Caps, coming up next weekend. You think the Colonels are very happy that they're not home this weekend?
Pretty happy.
Oh, man, because it's not looking real good outside. But next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the weather looks a lot better. May 5th, May 6th, as well as May 7th, your chance to win a family 4-pack coming up here in just a little bit. Also want to let you know about, not too late, to get ready for the Adult Pinewood Derby. That is tomorrow afternoon. Actually, doors open at 11:30. Races beginning at 12:30 at the Iowa Brewing Company. It's open to the public. And you can register a car, get $50. Mark, you and I could shave our wood block down and get a couple drink tickets and see if we can win this thing.
Yeah.
Put it through the wind tunnel, get Ironside to help us, things like that. That starts tomorrow at the Iowa Brewing Company at 11:30. For more information, go to KGYMradio.com. We will take a break, come back. We're going to talk a little Drake Relays, more about the NFL draft as well at 3:43 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class coming your way on KGYM.
Ferguson Facility Supply has the products, services, and solutions facility and property managers need when and where they need them. We offer a vast array of janitorial, lighting, HVAC, hardware, safety, and plumbing products, and that's just the first half of our catalog. And with nationwide coverage, we deliver directly to your facility, making sure you have everything you need to get the job done. Because at Ferguson, relationships are the most important thing we maintain. Learn more at Ferguson.com.
It's time for breakfast at Burger King.
Remember at Burger King, I got the 3 for 89 cent pancake deal?
Yeah.
I tried to take one.
But they're 89 cents.
Yeah.
You could spare one.
I understand, but you know what I said.
Well, you said respect the stack.
And did you?
No, because I like pancakes.
Respect that stack. Get 3 pancakes for just 89 cents. That's 3 fluffy golden pancakes for 89 cents now at Burger King. Here's another great breakfast deal. 2 croissant sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time at participating Burger King restaurants.
Attention motorsports fans. Save big at the Yamaha Get Out and Ride sales event at Sun and Fun Motorsports with rock bottom financing. Huge customer cash plus more on Yamaha motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Like the Superbike Champion R1 and Super Sport Champ R6, new for 2017. Save on Yamaha FZ Extreme Naked Sport Bikes and FJ Super Sport Tourers. Even Yamaha Star Cruisers and Retro Sport Heritage models are on sale. Into off-road? Score a great deal on the back-to-back Motocross Champ YZ250F or YZ450F. Prefer four wheels? Upgrade to a YFZ450R, Raptor 700R, or adrenaline-pumping YXZ1000R sports side-by-side. And if you love the outdoors, save on a real-world Tough Grizzly or Kodiak 700 ATV, Viking, or Wolverine side-by-side. Visit YamahaMotorsports.com for details, then visit Sun & Fun Motorsports today for huge get-out-and-ride savings. Come to the open house at Sun & Fun Motorsports on Escort Lane in Iowa City tomorrow from 9 to 3. Get special savings during their Red Balloon Sale and take a demo ride, weather permitting. Offers good through 6/30/17 on purchases of select Yamaha motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides. See dealer for details.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee-off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees, no more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
April showers bring May dollars. KGYM is giving you a chance to win cash each day in May with $100 a day in the month of May. Listen each day to Mike and Mike in the Morning for a phrase from the show. Then later on the Gym Class in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, we'll play that morning's phrase. And caller number 6 will win $100. $100 a day in the month of May. Sponsored by Toyota of Iowa City. Right here on KGYM. The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, $100 a day in the month of May. That will start off on Monday. Listen to Mike and Mike in the Morning from 5 until 9, and then we'll have a chance for you to win $100 during local programming sometime between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. That will be each weekday in the month of May, with the exception of Memorial Day. We'll be off on that particular day due to the holidays. So look forward to that starting up on Monday. Look forward to the APC. They're up next from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. Live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square in Iowa City, just south of the Finkbine Golf Course. I should mention as well, Iowa baseball pushed back to 6 o'clock tonight. Going to be one game only. They were scheduled, well, it was originally scheduled Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they moved it to a doubleheader today because they saw the rain coming in. Rain came in early, so now they've scrubbed the doubleheader, moved it to one game tonight, and they're going to try two tomorrow. Does that make any sense?
Well, somebody must have been looking at the weather, so yeah, it does.
6 o'clock tonight, they'll try it. We'll talk more about the draft coming up here in just a moment at 3:47. Your chance to win that 4-pack of tickets to the Colonels next weekend coming up as well. Let's get you up to date on what's happened at Drake today. Girls shot put going on. The local winners, or local place winners, Chandler Haight of Iowa City West, and the girls side ended up in the fourth spot. Liberty Upena of Midland finished up in the seventh spot today. Also in the boys' discus, how about this? Congratulations to Tristan Wirfs, who got the double. First time since 2004 that somebody has pulled off the double, winning the shot put and now winning the discus. He got that with a throw of 190 feet, 1 inch. Did that on his third throw today. So good for him. Jackson Coker of Kennedy finished up in the third spot. Jonathan Gannon of Iowa City West finished up in the seventh spot today. That's the boys' discus. Also today, the boys' long jump. Terrell Jordan Jr. of Kennedy finished up in the fourth spot. Malik Haynes of Kennedy finished seventh. Carl Tatad of Waterloo West finished up in eighth. Blair Brooks of Marion finished up in 10th. Marty Borsett, the Prairie, finished up in 11th today as far as the boys' long jump is concerned. Girls' high jump today, Josie Durr of Solon finished in the third spot today. Taking a look at some of the other results here on the high school front, the girls' 800-meter relay today, sprint medley relay, Linmar got the win, with Rolf, Hubler, Bennett, and Peyton Wenzel coming away with the championship today. Dubuque Senior finished up in sixth. Dubuque Wallert finished up in the eighth spot. Solon came home in 11th today. Boys distance medley relay. Cedar Falls finished third. Iowa City West finished fourth. City High finished in sixth. Waterloo West finished in seventh with Mount Vernon 11th, Anamosa 12th, and Linmar in 13th as far as the boys' distance medley is concerned. Girls 110 hurdles. Valerie Welch of Iowa City West, your champion. Myesha Bergman of Jefferson finished right behind her in second, so a 1-2 finish. Grace Martinson of Benton Community finished up in the fifth spot in the girls' 110 hurdles. Boys' 110 hurdles, Joa Banks of Prairie, your winner. In that one, JoJo Frost of Center Point Urbana finished up in fifth. Zeal Baker of Linmar finished up in seventh in the boys' 110 hurdles. Also, the girls' 4x2, Dubuque Wallert, the winner. Benton Community finished up in a fifth spot. Waterloo West, seventh. Waterloo East, eighth. By the way, Karis Roberts of Waterloo East won the 100 earlier today in a brand new state record time. She's now 2 for 2. Only a sophomore. Western Dubuque won the boys 4x200 today. Bennett, Steffen, Beard, and Beard took first place. Waterloo West took third. Cedar Rapids, Washington took seventh place. Kennedy came home in 11th today in the boys 4x2. And I think, girls 100, Karis Roberts, as we mentioned, finished up in first. Jill Bennett of Linmar finished up in the seventh spot in the girls 100. Boys 100 today. Isaiah Trussell of West Burlington Notre Dame was your winner. Third time he has won that. So congratulations going out to him. I think he's going to go to UNI and play football. Don't quote me on that. In the girls 800, Joy Ripslinger of Davenport Assumption, the winner. Corinne Gadient of Monticello finished up second. Anna Hostetler, who won yesterday, finished up in fifth for Mid-Prairie. Bailey Knock of Iowa City West, seventh. Peyton Wenzel of Linmar finished up in the eighth spot in the girls 800. Boys 800, Derek Nugent of Iowa City West finished up in the third spot today. Seb Gerhardt of Cedar Falls finished up in the fifth spot today. And Jeremy Krogman of Mount Vernon finished up in 13th. And that's all we have right now. Prelims for the rest of the day as far as the high schoolers are concerned.
Round two, and we hope for hope for better weather for those kids, but it doesn't look that good.
Doesn't look promising.
Day two of the NFL draft, rounds two and three tonight. You can hear it right here on 106.3 FM and 1600 AM on 107.5 FM is the series opener between the Minnesota Twins and the Kansas City Royals. As long as you're at the website, vote in our poll question today. How many Hawkeyes will be drafted in rounds 2 through 7? Three options. 3 or fewer, 4, 5 or more. How many Hawkeyes will be drafted between tonight and tomorrow? Right now, about a half of you saying 3 or fewer. And then about 20-25% split among 4 or 5 or more. Poll will be available through the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn coming up after us. The Packers pick first tonight.
Is that true? The Pack? Dalvin Cook is the guy everybody wants. Todd Brommelkamp said he wanted Dalvin Cook before he left today.
Will they think about DeShone Kizer?
No.
No?
No. I think it's Dalvin Cook. That was in the trade with Cleveland from last night.
Cyclone Tim with a very witty comment directed towards me on the text line.
I thought he was going to let me know if Pat Mahomes looked anything good against the Cyclones last year.
He's starting in with me, so you're probably next.
Okay.
Mark, the Bears pick fourth tonight. How many draft picks will they give up to move up to third?
Hey, they didn't move up 17 spots.
Attaboy, Tim.
Nothing about Pat Mahomes, though.
Not yet. No, I'm refreshing.
I hope he has a better career than his father did. His father was a pitcher for the Minnesota Twins.
No, he was okay. He wasn't.
I'm hoping for a better career.
Who will last longer, father or son?
I hope son. I hope the son. A whole bunch will last longer than that. Got a few more minutes here if you want to get your thoughts about the NFL draft from last night, or you're looking ahead to tonight. It's a brand new day. No, the sun is not out, but it is a brand new day. What your team needs, who are they going to get? Are there going to be more trades? Is it going to be crazy in Philadelphia tonight as well? 319-366-1600.
If you're a Packer fan, who do you want? By the way, Pat Mahomes pitched in the major leagues for 11 seasons.
How well?
You want to change your mind?
How well?
He had a winning record.
What was his record? You finding
I'm
that?
I'm looking, yeah.
Okay, very good.
42-39.
I'm hoping for more
mainly
than 42
a relief
wins.
Pitcher. Mainly a relief pitcher after he left Minnesota.
That's true. His godfather, Pat Mahomes the second godfather, is LaTroy Hawkins.
Indeed.
I'm learning all sorts of Pat Mahomes trivia.
He pitched for many teams, including the Twins.
I'm just hoping they don't give him number 14, because that would be bad karma. That was Todd Blackledge's number when he was a Kansas City Chief. a couple minutes remaining here if you want to talk about the draft before we send it to Iowa City. And more draft talk coming up. They'll also talk some baseball. Speaking of baseball, we've got the Cubs and the Red Sox coming up tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Fenway Park, and that will be coming your way. We'll start off at all three. Twins baseball at 5:30, so if the game is still in progress on 107.5 FM, we will have Twins baseball coming up at that time. And looks as though ESPN Radio is not offering any NBA action this weekend, as most of the series have concluded now, and we'll see what will happen tonight as far as the NBA is concerned.
It's a pretty good series in Major League Baseball. You mentioned the Cubs in Boston. That will be very interesting. The Cubs not having to face Chris Sale, that poor guy.
Nor Porcello, nor Sale.
Baltimore and the Yankees getting together to try to sort things out a little better in the East.
At least it wasn't the White Sox that were hurting Chris Sale. Everybody was doing it.
True. The Mets trying to gain ground on the Nationals. That series will get underway. And then Colorado and Arizona, the surprising co-leaders in the West, are going to get together in Arizona. So some interesting series going on this weekend.
Very interesting series out there. Yeah, it's going to be weather-wise kind of a bummer. Hopefully most of the events will get in. There's a lot of baseball, college baseball. Kirkwood softball already canceled the entire regional tournament that was scheduled for this weekend. Joe Yagi and his team they pulled the plug on it and said, we're not going to be able to get it in.
Did you cancel our tee time?
I didn't set one.
Okay.
Because I figured that I know your rules. You don't golf when it's under 50 degrees, and I may have to take a rain check for it this week as well, but we'll see. Caddy Smack coming up next Wednesday, by the way. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the weekend. You all have a great one out there. Hope your team picks the guy you want tonight. And we will have coverage of the draft coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Twins baseball also coming up tonight as well. We need to give away our final four-pack of tickets right now. Jeff's going to get your information at 319-366-1600. Caller number 5, you will get our tickets.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to